I'm joined here in the studio with Suzanne. And do you want to introduce your guests?
Yeah, good morning. And I am welcome to Tom and Allison, Tom Weinert and Allison Adams. I was hoping they'd have their grandbaby Astrid with them, but she went to preschool today.
Yeah, little kids in the studio.
Yeah.
So, always a fun time.
Right. Well, welcome to Tom and Allison. They are a very interesting couple who I have been enthralled by their garden up at Skyline, which is above Highland Estates, which was a sheet of ice this morning, so we carpooled in. Anyway, Tom and Allison covered their entire front lawn with topsoil and a vegetable garden. And it just thrived over the summer, and I really got a kick out of it.
Oh, my gosh.
So I asked them to be on the show, and I found out a lot of interesting things about Tom and Allison. First of all, can you tell us about your professional and personal interest in gardening?
Yeah, well, I was raised in Los Angeles, so I didn't actually have very much gardening, but I was interested. So after high school, I went north and I rented some people that were doing organic farming, and it got me pretty interested. And so I pursued that for maybe 12 years or so, doing a farm garden, market garden kind of stuff for Spokane, Washington. And thought, hey, adding some science might not be nice. So I went to school and got a PhD in soil science, which I really enjoyed. And then ended up moving to England with Allison and got a pretty interesting job working on a high-pressure organic farm. We had about 2,000 acres of organic.
Oh, my goodness.
But it means we got into composting and, of course, the labor and the water and all the things that go with that. But really enjoyed that connection. But then we moved to Flagstaff and did a smaller garden, but we did underground stuff with the greenhouses and things. But still being interested in composting, we did quite a bit of that. So had a pretty good life, and I've enjoyed it. Of course, growing food is always a nice connection. So,
what do you mean underground vegetables? Like potatoes, carrots?
No, we mostly did greens.
Underground.
Yeah. So,
can you explain that?
Yeah, dug a hole. It was a pretty large hole. It was about maybe 900 square feet, and then put a top on it, and then had to underground because it's cold enough and windy. So that was quite a bit of a longer growing season. And we ended up growing the vegetables all winter, which was fun.
Wow.
And Flagstaff, which is a little bit warmer than this, but not a lot. It's 7,000 feet
elevation. So you're high up.
And water is a big issue. Mm-hmm. Not like, well, it's a big issue in Haines, but it's a different kind of issue, I think. Mm-hmm. Very dry there. It's in the mountains, but also very cindery soil. So it could be great soil, but it takes about 10,000 years or so. You know.
Eventually.
Eventually.
So did the underground farming help with the water situation? Did it keep the plants more moist?
Yes, it does. Without the wind, quite a bit good. And then we also had rain catchment on the roof of the house and rain storage, 40,000-gallon rain storage tanks that we buried. And we tried to set the house up as sustainable. And the fun with the passive solar, and we also did some photovoltaic, like you do solar, for the house energy. But had a good time doing it. But it took about 4 or 5 years to put it all together, and then of course, then we move.
So you've actually become you've been what I guess would be called a professional gardener, or would it be a farmer? You know, in England, you were, that's what you did for a living. So, Allison, what's your background?
So my background is really quite different. I'm not at all a gardener farmer in my history. I was trained as a yeast geneticist, which is basically a lab scientist. And so spent most of my career doing research and teaching in that. But through Tom, learned a lot about gardening and farming. And what he didn't say was that in the last several years before we came to Haines, we actually bought an organic farm in Oregon. And I learned some of the gardening, farming stuff there. with him. But he's definitely the one who knows most about all this. So I just follow instructions sometimes.
And why did you decide to grow your garden as you did? Did you just miss it and you need, you know, it's very rocky and dry up at Skyline?
So I felt, we both felt that gardening has been a really big part of our lives together and in before Tom met me for him as well. And so we wanted to continue doing it in Haynes, and we bought a house that really wasn't very well set up for that. Most of the acreage we've got is on a steep hillside with trees on it. But at the front of the house is a beautiful sunny piece of land which was used for a lawn when we arrived there. It looked very nice. And we decided that because it had great southern exposure, this would be the best place for us to do some gardening. And so we basically decided to cover it up with soil that we got hauled in from Northern Construction. Okay. And cut up the grass.
Okay. And did you just cover up the grass? How many inches of soil did you put on, you think?
Well, I think we thought we got about 10 yards from Northern Construction.
Okay, and so but how just, deep
so
was this?
It varies because we didn't do a very good job of spreading it. So there's some areas that have maybe only 3 inches and other areas that have maybe more like 8-10 inches,
okay.
I think.
Okay. And did you ever have any problem with the grass trying to push through?
So far, we haven't had a problem with that. Yeah. We were hoping that the soil would kill the grass underneath, and then we left the grass there because we wanted just to add to the bulk of organic matter.
Okay.
And you know, at least last year it seemed to work okay.
Yeah.
So you didn't cover it with cardboard or anything?
No,
first?
We didn't. We it was all a bit of a last minute decision. Mm-hmm. So it was like beginning of May, we're going, maybe we should do something here. And so we hauled in some soil and decided to just get going.
You guys like to experiment, don't you, in all these different climates?
It's
very
fun.
Interesting.
Yeah. It's fun. Yeah.
Yeah. Now, what did you grow in your garden this year? It was all vegetables, am I correct?
Yes.
Yeah.
So this year we just threw out whatever seeds were lying around. And as Joni said, kind of experimental is our nature. And bought a few more seeds as well. But we planted a lot of greens, so kale, arugula, lettuce, Brussels sprouts, broccoli. We also planted some beets and some carrots.
Tomatoes.
Like, oh, we did some tomatoes. We did some tomatoes in buckets. This was following a system we learned about in Flagstaff to extend the season, where you plant them in buckets and then just in 5-gallon buckets and then bury them as they grow up through the buckets and until finally you've got a bucket full of earth with so it just provides for a large root system for the tomatoes.
So you have holes in the bucket.
At the bottom to drain the water. Yep. And then we started off with like 3 inches at the bottom of the bucket of soil, planted the little seedlings right at the bottom, and then as they grew, just kept burying them more and more.
So converting
the stems into roots, root systems, until in the end they were at the top of the bucket and kept going. And we kind of did a little bit of an experiment by planting some of the seedlings that we had from the trays straight into the ground.
Mm-hmm.
And because we had excess ones, so we put some straight in the ground and left some in the buckets. And
The
ones in the buckets were definitely way ahead of the ones in the ground.
Mm-hmm.
But in the end, the ones in the ground did fine. We ended up with green tomatoes that we harvested just about a month ago and made into chutney. So it worked out.
Yeah. Yeah. I always harvest my green tomatoes and put them in the attic and they ripen.
Ah.
They ripen.
Yeah. Well, that's amazing. I have never heard of somebody growing tomatoes with any luck outside in Haynes, Alaska.
This was the year to do it, though. I mean, don't be fooled. This was a hot summer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, what were your best successes in the garden this year?
So I would say, so arugula was wonderful.
Okay.
Arugula
yeah.
came up really
yeah.
fast,
mm-hmm.
and it was great. It was a huge amount of arugula, way more than we could eat, so we actually made some arugula pesto out of it.
Mm-hmm.
And we also ended up getting seeds from the arugula for next year.
Good.
So we also had great success with the peas.
Okay,
And then the greens, we actually just last weekend were still harvesting kale.
Okay.
So that we've been able to harvest greens for the last 6 months, pretty much.
Yeah.
So those were great, I would say.
What were the conditions like? I mean, to me, when I'm up at Skyline, it seems very rocky, very dry, colder in the winter with a huge amount of wind, and hotter in the summer. Is that correct? And how did your...
I would say so.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, that seemed about right. But I think the house sheltered the garden a little bit, because the house is on the north side of the garden, so it sheltered it. And really, I think in the summer it was totally acceptable. It seemed like a totally reasonable thing, and it was just wonderful to see things actually coming up and producing food.
Well, that is just wonderful. So do you have any tentative plans for next season about what you're going to grow? And
yeah, I think we're just going to kind of build on the successes from this year. So things, and then we're going to just continue to learn from people in the community as we get to know more and more people who are excellent gardeners here.
Right.
We're going to really have a better opportunity, I think, to do it a little less randomly next year.
Yeah. Can you tell us a little bit more about the science and the environmental factors and how that differed in gardens around the world that you have owned and managed versus what you've got now? Tom, that's probably a good question for you.
It sounds pretty exotic, doesn't it?
No.
Around the world.
Yeah.
So,
well,
so I was working in England, but also working in Spain.
Okay.
For the green production for the supermarkets in England.
Okay.
And, of course, in England, moisture is not a problem in the winter, but it's not a very good growing season. So that's why Spain was a good place to grow the greens in the winter. But moisture is a big problem in Spain.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of politics on it, too.
Oh.
Getting the water.
Oh.
So, because they usually bring it down from the north in these big rivers, and then you store it in lagoons, gigantic lagoons. But the politics, of course, is thick. But so a lot of money and stuff I didn't really know about.
Yeah.
So being careful with moisture is always one of the issues, especially in Spain.
Mm-hmm.
But then in England, because the summer gets pretty dry there as well.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah.
It's also kind of an issue. But, you know, getting good soil and trying to manage the water.
Yeah,
is a big thing. So usually didn't like to put things up in the air too much, you know, like raised beds or anything like that, because they dry out so badly. So I usually would be down, you know, in the soil trying to minimize the amount of exposure.
Right. Here it's so interesting. It's so different because everybody, you want a raised bed to keep things warmer and to help them thaw out quickly and things like that and warm up more quickly.
Yeah.
But you've seen both sides of the coin.
That's right. Well, I haven't, because I'm down in Eugene in the summertime, so I haven't really seen, I only see winter here in Haines.
Yeah.
Does there anything but winter? But,
yeah.
Yeah.
No, there's construction.
construction
in winter.
But you know what? As a gardener, I like the construction because you can build beds with all the rocks they churn up. I mean, I can't tell you how many times I walk around filling the back of my car up with rocks and then I haul them into my garden.
Oh, my gosh. You're such a scavenger.
I know. I scavenge.
And you put the rocks at the bottom of your raised beds?
Just all over. Basically, I like rocks, and I hate weeds. So in between my plants.
Mulching.
I've got mulch, but like rocks,
But
too.
Rocks can mulch, can't they?
Yeah. Yeah. So
and they hold heat pretty well.
Right, exactly. Yeah. So I like hauling in the rocks.
Nice.
How was your topsoil? Did it work okay? I mean, did you use fertilizer this summer, or?
So the only fertilizer we used was some of the fish fertilizer.
Okay.
We thought, when in Rome, do as Rome does.
Yeah.
So we learned about using a little bit of that, but that was all we really had access to this year. So that was kind of what we did.
Yeah.
And the garden seemed to be fine. We just used that on the greens, didn't use it on the legumes.
Okay.
And it seemed seemed to work.
Great, yeah. I use fish fertilizer inside and out. That's all I use.
Oh,
so,
nice.
I like to use the what is the name of the fertilizer, Joni, that you can get the seed to soil.
Yeah, soil to seed or seed to soil. That's what it is.
Yeah, it's a local concoction from the cannery.
I think you can get it at the fish place, maybe.
The
place on Main Street.
Okay,
I can't think of what it's called. But
Yeah,
because that's where it comes from.
Yeah.
Or that's where it's made. It
Means
packing.
So that's a real good fertilizer, too, and it's very concentrated, so it'll last you forever if you buy a jug.
Good to know.
So tell me about your seeds. Were they organic seeds? Were they just stuff from the local hardware stores? Were they things you brought with you from other places? Where'd you get your seeds?
Quite a bit from territorial seeds, which is down pretty close to us in Oregon.
Yeah.
And we buy organic when we can.
Sure.
But sometimes it's a little bit arbitrary.
Yeah.
So, and then when I used to do big scale, whatever, farming, I used to buy, you know, by the pounds.
Okay.
But now we're in a much smaller scale.
Yeah.
So we just buy, you know, the seed packets.
Yeah.
But it would be fun to learn which varieties, like tomatoes. We were talking to a lady